pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday. It's a primary runoff day here in Alabama. 251-343-0106. We need to be in touch with the show. That's what you do. You text me, and we do our best to respond to whatever it might be that is on your mind. So to come on the program about a half hour from now, Wes Allen joining the program. He's running for lieutenant governor. He's also our secretary of state. 11 o'clock hour, Barry Moore will be with us. And Jared Hudson. So here from the AG candidates in the first hour. This hour is the lieutenant gubernatorial hour here on FM Talk 106.5. And joining us now, formerly of the Alabama Republican Party, but a candidate for lieutenant governor, John Wall, is with us. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Well, how are you feeling today?
I mean, look, I'm feeling great. Just continuing on with that message that we talked about in the primary, where we came in first place, which is that we're the outsider. I'm a conservative. I'm not a career politician. I don't want to be a career politician. And just, you know, really been the grassroots candidate. So hitting that hard over the last month, getting around, talking with folks all across the state about our message, you know, the fact that Donald Trump endorsed me. And the fact that it's time to take Alabama back. There is no reason that Alabama is following, trailing, whether it's in education, whether it's in conservative principles. I want to see Alabama leading the country in every single area, leading the country in job creation, leading the country in our education numbers, and leading the country when it comes to conservative principles that defend the rights and the freedoms of every single individual and put the people back in control of government where they should be.
Well, talk to us a little bit about your election day routine. This is, is it much different than May 19th? What does today look like for you?
Very similar. You don't get much sleep. You get up early. You get on, radio interviews, talking with folks, pulling people out. I love it. It's when you have a chance like this to talk to the voters, that's what it's all about. I really am that grassroots candidate. And I don't like working with the politicians in Montgomery that much, but that's why I like campaigns. This is when you get out and you get to talk with just the average, everyday Alabamians. And look, I'm biased, but I think we have the best people in the entire country. And it's why I'm so passionate about fighting for them and being in the political process. So no, routine is really just get out and hit talk to as many people as you can before the close of voting today at 7 o'clock.
Well, we'll kind of do this. There's a few people tuning in today. They listen to political talk radio two or three times a year. I mean, it's election day, and they're heading to the polls. They haven't made up their mind. They don't even know who's on the ballot, but they're going to vote. I don't know if that person exists, but pretend that they do, and you're making your last pitch to them before they go to vote. What do you say to them?
Yeah, that final pitch. Well, look. The question all becomes, what are you looking for? Because I think this race, there's a very clear contrast. You've got someone who has been in the trenches as state party chairman and leading the fight for the conservative principles we believe in. Things like constitutional carry, making vaccine passports illegal in the state of Alabama, school choice, lowering taxes, phasing out the state income tax. These are the issues that I have been fighting, on the front lines fighting for over the last 4 years. And I want to bring that same fight to the lieutenant governor's position, because the reason I'm running is because I've gotten sick and tired of sending people to Montgomery, sending people to Washington, and then they get there and they don't have a backbone. They wimp out on us and they don't follow through. And this is my commitment to every single person out there listening. If I'm elected lieutenant governor, I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to surrender, and I'm going to stand for the principles we believe in. There's too much at stake in this country not to. I watch the trends, and I'm a strong Christian and man of faith. And I just, ever since the death of Charlie Kirk, I've really realized that what we have in our society, the biggest problem we have is we have taken God out and we've left a hole. And that hole is being filled with secular humanism. It's being filled with hopelessness with our young people, drugs, alcohol, suicide. And we have got to get back to the basics, and we've got to be willing to stand on the principles America was founded on. And that number one concept is the fact that we are a Christian nation and that our rights come from our creator, not from government. And it's time to get government back to where it belongs, fighting for the people of this state and this country.
Well, last question, and we'll wrap it up here. Where are you hunkering down for election night to watch the totals come in?
Great question. I'm kind of staying at home. I've been on the road so much. I kind of just want to, you know, hang out with, you know, friends and family. So staying near home and just, you know, just waiting to see what happens. But look, one final thought for your listeners. I have lived, I have worked, and I've been part of the coastal region early in my life. And I love that area. And I think there's things we got to get done, like the Mobile Bridge Bay. The I-10 bridge, we've got to get it done, and we've got to do it without tolls. And also, let's bring some accountability for these solar farms and these data centers. You know, the government should be serving the people, not big business.
All right. Well, best of luck to you, and we'll hear from you in some capacity in the future. But thanks for coming on this morning.
Hey, look, always good to be on the show. I appreciate it.
All right. John Wall, ladies and gentlemen, candidate for lieutenant governor there, 251-343-0106. West Allen coming up in just about 20 minutes or so. So we'll hear from his opponent here shortly. Back to the text line, and Butter Knife still at it here, says, he says the gay businesses are not going to be represented by Visit Mobile. Maybe they should not have to pay the same taxes as a normal business. They should not have to pay a tax. You just said we pay for Visit Mobile. No, that's not how it works. This is a democracy for, of, and by the people. And there's a process. Did you vote on this, Butter Knife, to whether or not we should do this? Now, I know we don't have direct democracy, but no one ran on the idea that we were going to showcase our LGBTQ legacy in Mobile, Alabama. Maybe I missed it. Or maybe Barbara Drummond did, or somebody, but that wasn't really something that these candidates were eager to make a part of their campaign platforms. But and listen, I know things come up and they don't run on everything. But I do believe that you would look at this and you would see the vast majority of people in the city, it's not something they really want. They really want to promote. That's the rub. And if you want that, if you think that's something that we should do, then that's the kind of politicians we need to start electing. But we haven't. Or even we have elected them, and they just have not talked about it. Because in any case, I mean, I think if you polled it, if you asked around, you would find that I'm right. Or maybe I'm just in the talk radio bubble. Mike, I'm hopeful Trump will hold his line with Israel. While Trump said, quote, you don't have to knock down an apartment house every time you're looking for somebody, because there are a lot of people in those apartment houses and they're not all Hezbollah. He admitted that he knows Israel is willfully killing innocent women and children. We can't continue to support them and still pretend to hold the moral high ground. Yeah, I acknowledging that that's a problem. But on the other hand, though, that's what these people do. They hide military assets and things of that sort that could be used in a destructive way against Israel and civilian targets. And they've done it time and time again. So what do you do there? And you got to acknowledge that as well. Mike also writes, I was 48 around 8:45 this morning. My picks are Wall, Hudson, Robertson, Christina, Zig, and Allah Akbar Mitchell could jump in a lake for all I care. That really did hit me in, didn't it? Tony says, definitely voted for Jay Mitchell. I liked him whenever he was on the Supreme Court. I don't see any reason to change now. Lloyd, turnout is going to be an all-time low, dismal. Who's that help? So I've thought about this, and who has the most enthusiastic supporters? and I think it's the most ideological candidate. I don't know who that is in the AG race. I think maybe it helps Wall and Barry Moore just because they have the Trump endorsement. Maybe. Low turnout event. The guy who's going to go out of his way to get a Trump flag and put it up on a flagpole in his yard. You know, those are, you know, people have the strongest feelings about politics, the most engaged. But it varies region to region. But I mean, you know, something else, Lloyd. We had low turnout in the 2018 lieutenant gubernatorial primary runoff. You didn't really have much on that ballot to vote for. I think maybe there was congressional race in AL2. And in theory, at the time, it would have helped Twinkle Kavanaugh, but she didn't win. In this election, different from that one, there's a lot more on the ballot. There's a United States Senate race that I think is overshadowed. It has been a contentious one, especially here in this runoff stage. But it doesn't seem like it has quite the oomph. And maybe it's because of everything that's going on in our national politics right now. But certainly not when Katie Britt was on the ballot against Mo Brooks. And it just doesn't have that same feeling Tommy Tuberville, Jeff Sessions did in 2020. But it's not the only race. Like I said, there's a lieutenant gubernatorial race, an AG race, a PSC race, an ad commission race. There's just a lot more that adds up. The weather, I think, is a factor here. We'll see. It's low so far, but, you know, Alabama is no stranger to low turnout. Ultra Runner. I spent last week in the Birmingham area. The saturation of cable ads seem twice as thick as compared to here. Are the two markets that different? Yes. Very. And I've always talked about this. Why does Mobile share a market with Pensacola? And it's kind of a fascinating thing because you want to get, I guess the TV stations want to get top 100 market ad revenue. And sharing that market with Pensacola puts, I think, us right into top 100. If you split them up, say Mobile was its own market, still be a decent-sized market relative to the entirety of the state. You put Pensacola in something with Panama City that has its own market, which would make way more sense to me. But it's the economics of TV. And for that reason, when we have these elections, campaigns will spend more in Birmingham because you get more bang for the buck. You get more eyeballs in a statewide race if you go big in the Birmingham market than if you do in the Mobile market. Because half of that is going to Florida, and Floridians don't vote in our statewide elections. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
From Carolina down to Georgia, smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleep the sweet home, Alabama, Roll Tide, roll. Muddy waters, Mississippi, blessed Graceland whispers to me. Carry on, sweet southern.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5 251-343-0106 is the text line. Coming up here in just a few minutes, Wes Allen, our Secretary of State. We get a couple of things there. Obviously, he is a candidate for Lieutenant Governor, but he's also our Chief Election Officer. We'll hear from him about how the day is going to this point. So stay tuned for that. Also, in the 11 o'clock hour, Barry Moore will lead us off. Then we'll hear from Jared Hudson at the bottom of the hour. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Clark in Fort Morgan. Baldwin County is sick and tired of overdevelopment. So, like, how do you approach this? And then here's what it comes down to, Clark. I mean, private property rights. And who owns the land? Now, there's some things you can do, zoning restrictions and whatnot. But a lot of the development is in unincorporated areas. And are you going to tell somebody who buys land what they can and can't do with it? Now, I mean, there's a big, this historic district thing is one way to put the brakes on some of that. But I think that's the question we got to ask ourselves. You own a piece of land and you want to do something with it. What can you do with it? What are you allowed to do with it? Gary asks, is your station FM 106.5 doing election coverage tonight? That I do not know. I don't think so, but we can find out. Sean, I'm writing Dick Brubaker in for everything. He would appreciate that. Or he would probably tell you not to waste your vote. The problem for that is, Sean, you can't write in during primaries. You can write in for a general election, but for the primaries, the party sets the parameters of who you could vote on. So there's no write-in option on the ballot today. I named texters. Don't know what it is like down your way. This is from our Coleman texter, but I was number 9 at 7:40 this morning. Doing the math, 9 ballots every 2/3 of an hour. It's 164 people, assuming it stays consistent between ebbs and flows throughout the day. Yeah, you probably caught the slow end of the voting day. It's not an average of the entire day. So I don't know what your precinct is and the population, but I bet it's a little better than that. Tim, Jeff, I don't think anything wrong with the expression, your biblical views, but how long do you think it takes for your buddy Travis Johnson to get reeled back in and ask where he wants to be, a pastor or a politician? After all, the church pays his salary. Well, my understanding about his church, they seem to approve of this. This is always, I think the church should take more of a, I don't think churches need to be out there endorsing candidates or anything like that. But on public policy, I think the church, especially the churches in this community, could stand to be a little more vocal about some of it. You know that there's this, and I've taught the pastors kind of off the record, and you know that all over this area, there is a legitimate fear that if they start talking about public policy, that it will turn away congregants, that they'll leave, they'll go to another church, that you want to be welcoming to all. And a lot of people, when they go to worship on Sunday, they don't want a lot of this in their church. They don't want a lot of these discussions. And you know, there's something that has sullied it a little. Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that, and it becomes in their minds like an idolatry. We don't put these political figures on a pedestal. We have to be real careful about that. So that's the rub there. We'll get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. The snow was a fine.
greatest pickup to ever play the blues.
I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this primary runoff day. Very rainy year in South Alabama. It looks pretty clear up north. Don't know what that means, but we'll try to decipher a lot of it through the over the next hour and a half or so. Still to come on the program, the 11 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Barry Moore at the very top and Jared Hudson at the bottom of the hour, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, he's our Secretary of State, but he's also a candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Very excited to have him on. Wes Allen joins us on the line. Secretary, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate that.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We do appreciate the time. Well, kind of put your Secretary of State hat on right now. What are you hearing out there? Everything going smooth?
Yeah, everything's smooth. It's slow. I mean, as you have probably already alluded to this morning, it's just slow, raining from, you know, Jefferson County south, it looks like, with the radar, the last radar I saw. So, hey, you know, lots of probate judges and boards of registrars and circuit clerks and sheriffs and poll workers have put in a lot of time and effort to get ready for the administration of this election. As a former probate judge, I know the work that goes into it. I know the time and effort and dotting of I's and crossing T's, and it's a tremendous amount of effort on the parts of those local election officials. And I want to publicly thank them for all of their help and the work that they do. And I would encourage your voters, your listeners who vote today, to thank the poll workers. Just, you know, it's a public service. They do get paid, but it's a public service. So thank them.
Well, and I think that's a very sound message to convey this morning. Hey, talk a little bit about the election. How are you feeling today?
I'm confident, Jeff. I feel good. I have worked my tail off since February of 2025 when I announced, and you followed my campaign. You've watched me. You watched this stuff very closely. And Jeff, man, what an honor and a privilege it is to put your name on the ballot and ask the great people of this state to elect you as the next Republican Lieutenant Governor. I've traveled near and far, top to bottom of this state, in between, everywhere. And to be able to go into these towns and cities all over our great state and to look the voters in the eye and to ask them for their vote and to listen to their concerns and to take these tough questions. The voters deserve nothing less than from the statewide candidates than to go into these communities, you know, and it's important. It's important because it makes us better candidates. It makes us better elected officials at the end of the day because we can handle pressure. And as you know, Jeff, you know, when you get into these positions, there's pressure at times, and you got to be able to handle pressure and to be able to lead. And that's what we've done, you know, during my probate judge days, House days, and then now as a Secretary of State. So what an honor it is to be able to run this campaign and to be able to forge so many great relationships around the state.
Well, you did this 4 years ago when you ran for Secretary of State. Has this been any different this time around running for Lieutenant Governor?
I would say yes. I've worked harder on this Lieutenant Governor's campaign. Now, I worked extremely hard for Secretary of State to earn the vote, but you know, the folks out there, they're pushing and pulling and tugging and kicking the tires and taking you for a test drive. They're seeing you. They're going to see what you're made of, and I kind of alluded to that earlier, just a second ago. It's when you get out there and you get into these communities and you see what's going on in these communities, it's important for us to have that and to have that feedback and to be able to, when we get back in these positions, to draw off of that knowledge and that experience. And so it's worth it, you know, and I believe that the voters are worth it and the state is worth it to work hard and to get out in this state and to hear from the people.
Well, what's election day look for you, like for you, you know, I obviously raining in a lot of places, but you're out and about. Give us a kind of the rundown there.
No, I am. I was at the office at the Capitol early this morning as the Secretary of State, Chief Elections Official, and making sure that our entire team was there extra early and making sure that if there's ever any questions or phone calls, that we've got our entire election staff there, Chief of Staff, General Counsel, my executive staff. We're there. We're working. And so I'm in Montgomery. I landed the plane yesterday on my campaign in Ozark, Alabama, in my final stop. We're going to continue to, just continue to push as hard as we possibly can.
Well, we'll get you out of here on this, but tell us where are you gonna weather the storm this evening when the totals start coming in? Where are you gonna be watching the results?
Yeah, so I'm gonna work, have my official secretary hat on, until 7 o'clock, and then I will be at the Capitol past 7 o'clock. But after that, we'll probably ease across the street to an office building and watch the returns come in. Nothing too large, nothing, no party or anything. We just, I've been working as secretary, and that's what we intend to do all day today. We're going to run through the tape as what our duty calls upon us to do as Secretary of State. And then tonight we'll watch the returns come in, and we're going to have a successful day. I really believe it, Jeff.
Well, Secretary, best of luck to you today, and hopefully maybe we'll hear from you again soon, but we'll keep in touch.
Hi, brother. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Wes Allen, ladies and gentlemen, joining us there on the line. He's candidate for Lieutenant Governor, 251-343-0106. What are you seeing out there? What are you hearing out there? Let us know on that text line. Let's see. What is the weather radar? I'm going to give this another look here. And it's kind of moving through a lot of this. More rain coverage. It's not quite as far north, but it looks thicker and heavier from about Prattville South, right? Well, maybe Clinton South right now. Right there at the Confederate flag on I-65, or the Devil Will Get You sign right there if you don't go to church. Thunderstorms moving through, but everything north of that, with the exception of East Alabama, I see Clay County and maybe parts of Talladega County over into Georgia. That's at Randolph County getting rain. But everything south of that point, it is coming. And it looks to me you got some very thick bands coming through our area here soon. That rain just kind of it is the coast all the way into Louisiana, all the way into Texas. As a matter of fact, and it's hitting from the west to east as weather patterns typically do here in this part of the country. So, more rain on the way, it looks like. Maybe a break or two along the way, but we'll see what that means. And we'll see, if the polling was right. I say this, and I think this is more of an important time to remind you of this. All of the percentages, it's less about percentages today, and it's more about just your raw vote totals. A 10% win in a primary runoff is not a 10% win in a general election, in a high turnout event. A 10% win in a low turnout event is not a blowout as it is in a lot of other elections. The airways have been saturated in the Birmingham markets we were talking about versus here. Some of these TV markets go into other states, particularly Mobile. We were just talking about that with Ultra Runner. You got a couple of counties in Mississippi in our market, and then all the way to the Okaloosa-Walton County line, that is the Mobile market. I lived in Destin for a year and a half, and we got Mobile news. We had WKRG. PMI. Now, the arrangement they have, the ABC affiliate here does, most of the Florida Panhandle news. But we were in the Mobile market. More than 100 miles from the Alabama state line. Well, maybe not that far if you go north, but still very far away from that orbit. And that's why these campaigns, if you could spend X amount of dollars in Birmingham, that dollar goes a lot further than it does in the Mobile market. And I think that has the impact here of making Mobile, the people who live here, like just like Montgomery, is just a faraway dream. And it also has the inverse effect of the people in other parts of the state looking at Mobile as Venezuela, a runaway province or something. Seems so far out of this, the beach down there, guys. Maybe they come down here once or twice a year. But if you're a campaign and you have X amount of dollars, you've got to make it go as far as possible, and you try to get the most vote totals possible, it's cost prohibitive to be in all markets. So Mobile's divided. I mean, Mobile, Alabama is divided up. It's got Huntsville. It's got Birmingham. And the Birmingham market stretches from Cherokee County, the very northeast corner, all the way to Choctaw County. Montgomery, Dothan, and Mobile. Birmingham's a little more expensive than the others. Huntsville gets into Tennessee, one or two counties. There's a couple of counties in Alabama that are in a Mississippi TV market. I think Lamar County is into Tupelo, Columbus. And Choctaw County may be in Meridian market, maybe Sumter County as well. And I believe there's one county that goes back and forth. Randolph County gets in Atlanta sometimes. You get all the, what does that mean? You get the Atlanta TV stations. Dothan, you get a couple of counties in Florida, and Dothan has, maybe one county in Georgia. And so it's just kind of a weird way of, like, you get your news, you tune into your 5 o'clock news or your 10 o'clock news, and you're watching. Those are that's where the central focus is. What's going on in that community? And that's how, when these consultants look at the map in the state of Alabama, that's how they perceive them. And that's why you see so many more ads in a Birmingham. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. Let me know what's on your mind. Let's see here. We got Mr. Doug writes, I don't think the government should ever post the Ten Commandments in every classroom. That's an overreach. Yeah, I mean, what would you say it's acceptable one place in the school, maybe? Every classroom may be, you know, a little much. But as I get back to this, what do people in the state think? If you polled it, or if you put it on the ballot, what would people say? How would they feel about that? And that gets to the pride flag discussion as well. I think it, you know, nobody, we live in a free country. If you want to do this, you want to do this on private property, you should be able to. No one should tell you that you can't. But if it's something so objectionable, would you oppose any other kind of show, you know, if it were some kind of other political ideology? Not to conflate. We had this fight over the Confederate flag. And I know there were some very outspoken people over the years about that, but we decided to take that down. That there were enough people in Mobile who said, hey, I don't want to see that. And the same with the Raphael Sims statue. You don't get it both ways, guys. And just sort of in the dark of night, they took the statue down. And we were told to live with it. Well, how is this? If you're going to do that, then how is this okay? Do you see the contradiction there? Am I wrong? But Dave Tesher says, who cares about Weenie Pride Month? Well, if you're having it thrust upon you, if you have it forced upon you, if you're having it to be, if somebody comes to Mobile who's a visitor, let's say old Freddy from social media, and he's driving in, he's been to Auburn, he's been to Fairhope, he's on his way to Houston, and he gets into Mobile and there's just pride flags everywhere. Well, I mean, what kind of message does that send? Is that the message you want for visitors? Maybe it is. You got to know, but do we have a say in that? And I'm going to tell you, I don't think that that is Mobile's brand. I think this is a group of people taking advantage of something for their own virtue signaling egos. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Every gambler knows that the secret.
It's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars light up the purple sky. Feel that long.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday, but it's actually primary runoff election day. Jerry writes, voted at the Tillman's Corner Community Center, and the vote count is about average what it was May 19th average. So there's one report that's very similar to what we had seen in the primary. I just, low turnout is what it is. But what we try to do is understand what it means and who does that benefit? Does it benefit anybody? Do any of these candidates have a more enthusiastic base? Or are you just going through the motions, blocking and tackling and doing your civic duty, if you will? And the more enthusiastic, which is true, remember the Ron Paul phenomenon about 20 years ago? Very, very enthusiastic, but just a small number of supporters. And they never could kind of break past that. They were very vocal, very active, but the numbers just weren't there. But they would go climb a mountain for their candidate. So in an election like this, that's the kind of voter that whoever has, whichever one of these candidates has that type of support is who will really show up today and prevail in tonight's results. Steve sends me a YouTube link. Hope they don't have to go back in peace. I can't look at that YouTube link on this interface. Jason, Wall is hanging out at home with Charlie tonight. You know, you thought it too. I don't know that we've seen the last of Charlie. Mike. Yeah, the Israelis are destroying Christian villages at Jesus Christ Himself Village and poisoning farmlands of Christians who've been farming there since the apostles were there are definitely doing so because of Hezbollah. Well, I mean, but what do you do if you want to protect your homeland? And whether we like the existence of Israel or not, a lot of us do. If you're hiding military assets in Christian villages, and Hezbollah does that, in civilian areas, what do you do? How do you fix that problem, Mike? The Israelis are obviously taking a very aggressive approach. But every time they do one of these bombing campaigns, they send out evacuation orders. They do at least go through the motions and try to minimize civilian casualties. But if you have to do what you have to do to protect your people, we don't have to worry about that. We have oceans on both sides. And, I mean, our biggest threat is Mexico. And it's not the Mexican government. It's just drug cartels. And you'll see us do stuff to try to shore up that southern border and take actions and go into Mexico sometimes to apprehend people. So it's not as if we're bombing churches, but they're not using the churches there like the Islamo-terrorists are, who are a win-all-cost mentality. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Flirting with the flight attendant.